So with the first reading from the prophet Malachi and the responsorial psalm, we are presented with a common theme that we encounter in the scriptures and in the spiritual life. The two paths, the two roads, one of righteousness, one of wickedness. And the responsorial psalm was the first psalm in the Psalter, and it's clear. Blessed the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor walks in the ways of sinners, nor sits in the company of the insolent. So it's always a good place to start an examination of conscience. Do I do those things? But he goes on to say, the blessed man is the one who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night. He's like a tree that produces abundant fruit in season and out of season. And the wicked, the ones who do those first three things, they're like the chaff, the waste that's blown away. So we have these two paths set before us. And the scripture is always clear, like choose life, choose the path of the blessed. And the response was, blessed are they who hope in the Lord. And it's that virtue of hope that allows us to persevere in choosing that right path. That we believe in the promises given to us through Jesus Christ, and we believe that he will supply the graces and the helps that we need in order to persevere so that those promises can be true in our life, ultimately in heaven. And so we want to always maintain what we would call an eternal perspective. We're made to be with God and Jesus and the communion of saints in heaven forever. So we want to make choices for that. But we know it's not easy. And this is what the prophet Malachi is referring to. He's the last of the minor prophets, writing around the year 450. So the last kind of real prophecy we have before Jesus. And there he says, the people have said, it's vain to serve God. Why do we want to keep his commandments? It's no profit to us. Why do we want to go about in penitential dress? Why do we want to follow the rules? Because those who are blessed are the proud. Those who prosper are the evildoers. And it's a temptation that we all face. We see people taking shortcuts in business and making dirty deals in politics, and they rise to the heights. We see people who are unfaithful to their spouses and serially marry and remarry and remarry, and they get to be the walk of fame, the stars of Hollywood, of popularity. We see people who promote all sorts of immorality and unnatural acts, and they seem to be the ones who get the most attention, the most prominence. And so if we don't maintain the eternal perspective, if we don't hang our hope on heaven, it's very easy to be distracted by trying to attain physical pleasures and monetary success in this world. When if we believe what Psalm number 1 says, it's all for nothing. It doesn't last. It's driven away like chaff in the wind. It's burned. And that's what the rest of that first reading says. That those who did maintain the fear of the Lord, those who were faithful to the promise, they got together and they prayed. Remember what Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name. So they pray, and the Lord says, you are right. Your name is written in the book. And those of you who have the fear, who have the awe of my name and my presence, you will prosper. And the others, they will be burnt away. They will be thrown into the fire without root and without branch. Meaning they have no history and they have no future. All they have is the right now. And the evil one never tires to propose this for each one of us. To focus on the here and now, the present time, the present day. Oh, who cares about the past? The past is the past, and the future is so far away. Heaven is so far away. You can repent later. Don't worry about it. Just have fun now. It's the continual lie of the enemy of your soul. And so we have to guard against letting our hearts, our minds, be distracted by the seemingly prosperity of the people of this world. Because many of them have made a deal with the devil. And they are only concerned with the right now. But we pray for that virtue of hope. That we're not just asking, as Jesus says, for stones and scorpions. But we're asking for the Holy Spirit. The very essence, the very being, God Himself, is the only gift that you should ever ask for. How that gift manifests each day will be dependent on what's going on and what the Lord needs to give you in that day. But it's the gift of the Holy Spirit that will guarantee you eternal life. And that eternal life is all that matters. And so we pray for the increase of hope, the confident expectation that what God has said is true. And if we remain faithful to Him, then we will be with Him forever in heaven. May it be so for each of us.